Hello, welcome to the DSM Culture Cast, where we interview leaders and creators in Greater Des Moines arts, culture, food, and philanthropy scenes. I'm Luke Manterfeld with DSM Magazine, and today's guest is someone I'm really, really excited to chat with. His name is Antoine Clark, and he's an amazing local artist who's been doing some cool stuff since the pandemic. You'll learn how he has gained a lot of his inspiration from natural landscapes and his home country of Jamaica. He is in love with nature, and I love it. As always, if you like the conversation, be sure to subscribe for more. We're on all of your favorite platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. Be sure to check out our last episode with local songwriter and musician Dan Tedesco. Also, we just released the newest issue of DSM Magazine, so check out dsmmagazine.com for all of the great content. All right, I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Antoine. All right, I'm back here with Antoine. It's great to have you on, Antoine. How are you doing today?
It's great to be here. I'm doing pretty good.
Great, great. And I wanted to start off this discussion by giving our listeners a little bit of background on you. I was wondering if you could kind of take us through just kind of your personal info, just like where you grew up, what kind of got you into art, and just a little bit about yourself to start.
Okay, so I grew up in Jamaica. I'm from Jamaica. I lived outside of the city. It's like comparing West Des Moines to the main city. I lived in Portmore. My mom told me that ever since I could learn how to grasp, I've been drawing with pencils or whatever I could find in the house. Like in my dining room, I covered the wall with art. So I've always been drawing. It comes super naturally for me. Even when I look at objects, I can break them down and just see their components and put them back together. And so that's always been me. My interest, I love culture. I love history. I love nature. I'm super inspired by the natural environment in Jamaica. So I put all of that into my work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so from Jamaica, how'd you end up in Des Moines?
So it was after university. I just wanted a new experience. And I don't think there's anywhere more different than Jamaica than the Midwest. So it's like, why not?
Did you go to school in Jamaica and then just say, I want to move to somewhere different? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't even graduate yet. I did my last exam and I was over there like a week after.
Yeah. Why Des Moines over Minneapolis, Chicago? Just like you said, it's just the most different place you could think
of. It's just different. And Des Moines has this kind of quaint quality. You know, you could be in the city and then you drive 15 minutes and you're by like a barn. It's amazing. I love that.
Yeah. Had you been to Des Moines before you moved?
I've not been to the Midwest, no. I've been to Florida, I've been to New York, but never on this side.
That's awesome. Well, I guess you're taking to Des Moines pretty well, I'm guessing.
I am.
Yeah. How long's it been?
I was in Des Moines for 3 years, 3.5 years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Awesome. And so you mentioned a little about how you got into art. It's something that you were just kind of natural at when you were a kid. But when did you kind of take it seriously and think this is something that you wanted to do as a career, as a path?
I met someone, a very good friend of mine. His name was Richard Natu. Because I've always been sort of an overachiever when it came to my year group, when it came to art. And I was kind of getting fatigued, but then Richard, he challenged me and he opened doors because he had such a charismatic personality. And people normally classify artists as not like a real career, but I ended up at this really nice bar in Kingston, Jamaica. And a lot of these people, they were art-minded. And we ended up in a gallery. We sold out the night. And I was like, whoa, this is incredible. Are you crazy? You're actually buying my drawings. And I started taking it seriously from that moment when I saw that people didn't just look at it as a hobby. It could actually be something significant.
Yeah. And how did that kind of shift things for you? Because like you said, it was kind of a hobby before. Were you able to do more drawings, or you were just putting more effort in your drawings after you kind of shifted that in your mind?
I think I've always been putting effort because I always wanted to improve my craft. But it made me start to focus on like what can my work say instead of just creating something pretty to look at. Like, what message can I convey? And I'm still on that track, thinking about what depth I can put to these pretty images so that people can have a meaningful connection with them.
Yeah. How would you describe your style?
My style? Wow, it's like fantasy, I suppose. I haven't seen anyone draw like me, to be honest. The only person that comes close is Larissa Cable, who does the floating horses, and I adore her work so much. It's highly detailed. I love working in pencil because of the simplicity of the media. It really speaks to just your technical competence, and that has always been my focus. So I just kind of like to show off a little bit like what I can do with a regular pencil. And I like the work to have this breadth. So you see a lot of open space and just almost one central figure that you just zone in and focus on. And I think that is very impactful. So,
yes, as someone, we work in magazines, so we like white space. It makes things look very nice. So I agree with you there. In Des Moines, I guess, how have things been going in terms of your art career? Have you found new inspirations here, new places to create?
I'm represented by Mulberry Gallery, which is
amazing.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard they're moving to a new location. We just did a story on that. That's awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I had a brief meeting with them, and for them to accept me, that was incredible. But my inspiration really is back home in Jamaica. I love the history and the heritage there. Like when you drive across the country, it is the most breathtaking. It is endless inspiration. Like you see these rugged mountains with this carpet of like verdant green, and the clouds just roll across it. Like, and the stories, that is just an endless source of inspiration for me.
Yeah, for sure. One thing we like to talk about in this podcast is creative process. And so I'd like you to kind of maybe pick out one of your favorite drawings. It doesn't have to be one, but just take me through how you go through creating one. So when you come up with an idea, actually drawing it and that kind of thing.
Okay, so my creative process is very slow because I feel like the work needs time to ferment. It needs time to grow and getting on its own. So it usually starts with me reading. I'm a nerd. I love to read science and watch YouTube videos about history and especially like in the Caribbean. I'm totally, totally obsessed with what the Caribbean looked like pre like colonization, because how it was described in like even the letters of Columbus, it sounded magical. Like these boats were coming in and you could see the manatees and the dolphins swimming. So those things, I see the image, I read, I see the image, and then I translate the image on paper. In a very slow, tedious process, I probably just draw the frame. One of the pieces I know, with the crocodile with the forest on its back, that started off with me just drawing the frame of crocodiles. I studied crocodile anatomy for weeks. I studied lighting, I studied coral reefs, I studied forest cover. Like everything is there. It's not just detailed in terms of the execution, but it's also detailed in, it's almost like a scientific manual. Essentially. Yes, and that piece took me 4 months to create. Studiously going in and drawing and making sure that everything looks like what it should. I get hundreds of reference images. So it's a very tedious process, and it's almost a scientific laborious job.
Yeah, that sounds. Are you working on multiple drawings at once, or are you only focusing on that one at a time?
It takes so much out of me, which is why I just do one.
Yeah,
and why I'm not as prolific as most other people are. And also, I like to be inspired. I don't want to just draw something because it looks pretty, or you know, it's time to produce another piece of work. So I like to get inspired, and I like to attack it very slowly so it can grow and ferment.
Yeah. What are you working on now?
Me right now, I'm just doing some portraits for some clients. But other than that, I'm being inspired. I've also started pivoted to aquascaping. Nature is a huge, huge inspiration in my career. And I've always sort of wondered, like, how it is, if nature is such a great thing for me personally, why am I drawing on dead trees? You know, that's kind of ironic and kind of it's not really communicating the idea that I want to really give sometimes. So I decided to look into this aquascaping thing. First of all, I was just blown away by how people can place plants underwater and they grow and they flourish. And they really do actually look like the drawings that I produce, where they look like fantastical worlds. They look like things of mythology. They don't look real. You're seeing forests underwater and fish swimming around looking like they're birds. I'm like, wow. So that's been my focus for these past couple of months. Just building out aquascapes and seeing how I can incorporate that into more like fine art.
Yeah, so this is kind of like the real world meets your art type of thing where you're, yeah.
Another idea that I had was making, because my focus, I went to school for urban planning, so I'm very focused about like sustainable development and what have you. And one piece that I really want to execute, it would be making these terrariums out of making glass domes essentially, and putting terrariums and allowing them to like wrap around buildings and wrap around concrete structures, just to show how like nature can take over the physical space, like the physical urban environment, in a controlled and really cool way.
That sounds awesome. What inspired you to kind of shift there in the last couple months? Was it the pandemic or just something that
Oh my God, it is so beautiful. Like aquascape is so beautiful. Every time I show people like what you can produce underwater, they're like, oh my God, and I like that. I want to be able to I think appreciating nature, recognizing that we are a part of nature, is the most incredible thing that we as people can realize. I also love the calming effect of it. You can sit down and watch it for hours and hours and hours and never gets bored. And I feel like my work is in the same vein. It produces the same emotion, the same response. It's achieving the same thing. And I can learn from aquascaping, and I want to incorporate as much of it as possible into my work.
Have you had to shift anything because of the pandemic, or has it been just kind of charging forward with your art?
A lot. I have grown so much in these past couple of months. I've decided to work for myself full time because I think that's where my path is leading. So I'm focusing on a number of projects at the moment. Still being inspired by art. I have, especially because of the recognition of Indigenous peoples, that is also a new focus for me. Being from Jamaica, we do have our own Indigenous population, and they have done, they've already made really massive contributions to the world, like barbecuing. That is something that's from Jamaica or the Caribbean. like hammocks and coconuts and just celebrating all of that crazy culture that we really take for granted. So I want to really focus on how I can actually incorporate more of those traditions into my work and tie it all back into nature and heritage and creating something really cool.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Where can people find out more about you if they're interested?
Me? You can reach out to me on Instagram. I love chatting to everybody. You can email me as well. I'm pretty open. I'm out there. I try to be.
Yeah, awesome. And your Instagram is at Antoine Clark?
That's right. And that's also my email address, antoineclark@gmail.com.
Okay. Just for people, it's A-N-T... W A I N C L A R K E. Again, that's AntwainClark, Antoine Clark on Instagram, and then AntoineClark@gmail.com if they want to get a hold of you. Well, Antoine, sounds like you have so much in the works, and I'm really excited to see where it all leads you. And it was definitely a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, it's been really great, Blue. Thanks for having me.
And like I said, you can find out more about him, Instagram, email. We just gave you those. And just a reminder, if you want to listen to more podcasts like this one, we're on all your favorite platforms, Apple Podcast, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. We'll talk to you next time. Thank you.